Our text of scripture for this evening is just four verses that are found there in our Bible reading this evening. I'll read those verses with you again from Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11, verses 20 to 24. It says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And with God's word open before us, let us just unite, please, our hearts in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in this gathering tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing of the gospel hymns and the reading of your word. Lord, as we come now to the preaching of thy word, we pray for the help of God, the Holy Ghost. Pour out thy spirit, O God, we beseech of thee, upon preacher and upon congregation alike. O God, you have said that the entrance of thy word, that it bring of light. And O God, our prayer is this very night, that through the going forth of thy word, that the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of God's so great salvation, will shine powerfully and brightly into some heart and soul in this meeting, even unto salvation. To this end, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Bless every child of thine. Save the lost. Bring glory to your name. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now, during his public ministry here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was one who used many ordinary everyday events to illustrate the great truths of the Word of God that he taught and that he preached. Indeed, to show that there is joy in heaven over a sinner repenting, he tells of the shepherd who rejoiced when he found that sheep that was lost. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Christ there speaks about the purifying influence of salt. Indeed, to show how the good testimony of God's people also has a purifying effect upon society. Indeed, in his interview with Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews by night, there the Lord, he uses the wind to show what it means for a person to be born again. Just as God in his sovereignty sends the wind, so a person is born again by God sending the Holy Spirit into their heart and into their life. And in our Bible reading here this evening in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, here you see how the Lord Jesus Christ, he uses the example of three cities in the day in which he labored and ministered here on earth to highlight the awful consequences there are for those who do not repent of their sin and do not trust Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. These three cities were the cities by the name of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And my such were to face the judgment of God because they in their day would not repent of their sin and they would not trust Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. That's what the Lord is dealing with in the words of our text, in verses 20 to 24 of the chapter. You know, my friend, this evening, just as the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum in the day of the Savior were to face God's judgment because they would not repent of their sin, because they would not trust Him as their Savior, so we must also say in this gospel meeting tonight that it is the same for all. Whoever they are who will not repent of their sins. Whoever they are who will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own and personal Savior. Why do we say that? Why do we declare that in this gospel service? Why? Because God is holy. Because God is a God who changes not. And because God is one who will always punish sin, the Bible declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Indeed, it is for that particular reason then that I want us to consider Christ's warning to these unrepentant cities of his day. And unless I believe you and I see a warning to every unrepentant sinner, my, if you're still unsaved in this gathering tonight, here is a warning from the very lips of Christ for you to heed the gospel message. Oh, if you're not saved at this very night, you would flee to Christ for refuge and that you would trust him for salvation. Notice first of all with me here the privilege of these particular cities. In Matthew 11 verse 20 it says of Christ, then began he to upbraid the cities. It says wherein most of his mighty works were done. What was the privilege of these cities? The privilege of these cities was this, that they had witnessed firsthand the preaching of Christ. They had witnessed firsthand the miracles of Christ and the mighty demonstration of the power of Christ as the Son of God. Bethsaida and Chorazin were beside the Sea of Galilee. If you read the earthly account of Christ's ministry in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you will see that it was around the Sea of Galilee where most of Christ's public ministry took place while he was here on earth. What a privileged place the shores and the land around Galilee was to witness and hear the preaching of Christ and see the mighty demonstrations of his power. Matthew chapter 11 verse 23 it says, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, mentioned there is made of Capernaum. And likewise also Capernaum was a place that was greatly favored by the public ministry of Jesus Christ. Indeed it was in Capernaum that Christ was to heal the centurion's servant. It was in Capernaum that he was to heal the son of the nobleman that was sick. It was at Capernaum where he was to heal and deliver the man who was sick of the palsy. Yes, it was in Capernaum that Christ uttered those tremendous words in John 6 verse 35 when he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. They heard those words from Christ's own lips. I am the bread of life. What blessings they enjoyed. Luke's Gospel chapter 11 verse 1, Matthew's Gospel chapter 11 verse 1, if you look at it there in the chapter that we've read from, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end, commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Look at verse 5 of the chapter, it says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. They heard the preaching of Christ, the greatest preacher of all. They saw and witnessed many, many miracles that Jesus performed here on earth. Yes, those words, they speak of tremendous blessings, tremendous privileges that these three cities enjoyed and partook of in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, these words, surely they remind us, I believe, of the privileges of many. Even in our society today, yes, they remind us of the privilege of many here in our own land and in our own province of Northern Ireland in particular. Perhaps there's one in this gathering and you too, yes, you have known great spiritual privileges. As you look back over your life, perhaps from your earliest days of childhood, as you survey your life, and it's good to do that, you can see the hand of God's blessing upon you, the hand of God's mercy. You have known many, many spiritual privileges and blessings from the gracious hand of God Almighty. Yes, you have often heard the gospel. You're no stranger to the gospel. My, you know that you need to be saved. You know that you need to have your sins forgiven by God. Well, what a mercy that is to have such knowledge. My, you know that you have a personal responsibility before God, your Maker, God, your Creator, that you must repent of your sins and you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. What privileges those are that you have enjoyed. What blessed knowledge you have received from the hand of God to know these things. That you're a sinner, that you need your sins forgiven, that you need to be saved, that you need to repent of your sins. My, you're no stranger to the Word of God. You're no stranger to the message of the gospel. Think of the words of Christ in John chapter 3 when he said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Those are words that you know. Maybe for many, many, many years of your life, you know that if you're ever to see heaven and be in God's heaven one day, then you must be born again. You're no stranger to these words, to the message of the gospel. Lee, the hymn writer, says there is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It tells me God the Son came down from glory's throne to die, that I might live and wear a crown and reign with him on high. And with those words there, the hymn writer testifies of his knowledge of the gospel, that Christ died for his sins upon the cross, that Christ died on the cross to save lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Likewise, my friend in this gathering, you too are familiar with that same message. It's not a new message to you. It is not a strange message to you. As you sit in this gathering tonight, you know that the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And as you sit in this car park tonight and listen to this message, yes, you know in your heart of hearts that Jesus Christ, he came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, what privilege it is to know the Word of God and to be familiar with the Word of God and the message of the gospel. But not only are you privileged in knowing the Word of God and knowing the message of the gospel, even just like these people here and these three cities of Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, just like the people in these three cities, you too have witnessed. You too have seen the Lord's power at work in people's lives that you know and that are maybe dear to you, neighbors, friends, loved ones, acquaintances, whatever. You see, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, when the Lord saves a person, there is a change in that person's life. There is a turning away from sin and a turning unto God. And that person starts to live for God. They now love things they once hated. And may they now turn their back upon things that they once enjoyed. Indeed, the hymn writer says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." And friend, you have witnessed this in people's lives. Yes, you too have seen people's lives changed and transformed by the mighty, saving, converting grace of God. You have seen that firsthand. Yes, you've heard people testify, maybe family, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, whatever, of Christ saving them from their sin and Christ setting them free from the bondage and tyranny of sin. Yes, you've heard others tell of how the Lord has changed their life and changed their life for good. Dear friend, in all of these privileges, realize this, that you too are just like those in the cities of Bethsaida, in Chorazin and Capernaum in the Savior's day. Yes, the privileges of the people of these cities. Dear unsaved friend, in this car park, in this meeting tonight, I believe it's a picture, yes, of the privileges that you know, that you have partaken of, that you have enjoyed from the merciful and gracious hand of God toward you. But not only the privileges of these cities, notice secondly here, the pride of these cities. For look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 20. It says of such that they repented not. Again, look at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 11. It says, Christ here speaks to the people of Chorazin and Bethsaida. And he says, Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Again, if you look at verse 23 of the chapter, you'll see there how Christ says similar words to the people of Capernaum. For he says, Therefore the mighty works which have been done in thee, had they been done in Sodom, it would have remained, he says, until this day. And what did Christ mean here? What were the implication of these words? The meaning, the implication of these words is this, that despite all their privileges, the people of these cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum, they did not repent of their sin. They did not seek the Lord for salvation. It says they repented not. And you know their failure here to get right with God, what does it tell us? What does it show it? It shows to you and I that the pride of their hearts. You notice there the mention of the word exalted in verse 23. Christ says, And now Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven. My, the people of these cities, they were exalted with pride. You see, they would not humble themselves before Almighty God. They would not bow the knee in repentance before God and repent of their sin and turn to Christ and trust Christ for salvation and call upon Him to save them. They went on in the pride of their heart and despite all their privileges and all that they'd heard and all that they'd seen, they would not turn to the Lord. You'll notice here that in these verses, Christ here, He compares the people of Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum to the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. And in those heathen cities, yes, the people were given over to gross wickedness and immorality and idolatry and all kinds of false religion. Yet Christ here, He says that of that people of those cities had the same privileges and blessings as the people of Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says they would have repented long ago. He says they would have sought Christ for salvation. In fact, He says Sodom would have remained unto His day. Yes, the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom were sinful. You know, the sin of Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin was far worse. Why? For it is despite great privilege, despite great mercies, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, despite the knowledge that they had. They did not use it for good in their souls and in their hearts and in their lives. Look again at verse 20 there of Matthew chapter 11. It says of Christ, Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Notice that word upbraid there. It really means to chide. It means to rebuke with anger. Indeed, to rebuke with wrath. Here you see that the pride and sin of these cities, what did it do? It provoked the wrath of God. It provoked the wrath of Christ, the eternal Son of God. You see, over in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, it tells us there that the Lord hates, we're told, a proud look. It has been said that pride is the master sin of the devil. And thus the pride of these people going on unrepentant, Christ rejecting, it provoked, it stirred up the wrath of Christ. He upbraided them and He says, Woe unto thee, the people of Chorazin, Bethsaida and Capernaum. Dear friend, there's a warning here for you in this gathering. If you are still unsaved tonight, and the warning is this. Learn here from this, if like these cities you go on, whoever you are, living in your sin, living for sin, and in the pride of your heart you go on and you refuse to repent of your sin, you refuse to accept Christ and trust him as your Savior, say this tonight from the holy word of God, that you too are provoking the Lord's wrath and the Lord's displeasure upon you. Listen to what it says in John chapter 3, verse 36. It says, "And he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him." As you sit in this car park tonight on Seaford, the wrath of God abides upon you. The Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." You're condemned already by God for your sin in the sight of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 16, Christ says, "He that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me." Why, in despising Christ and in rejecting Christ as Savior, what are you doing? You're but despising the mercy of God. You're despising the grace of God. You're turning your back upon the love of God that is so great, so vast. You're turning your back upon the very salvation of God. Yes, in this gathering tonight, you may be a very moral person. Perhaps you're very upright in your character, in your life. Maybe you're extremely religious and devout to the church that you belong to, or the church that you attend. As the saying goes, you're living in the clean side of the broad road. You're honest, you're a good neighbor, you're kind, you're helpful to others. That indeed is to be commended in its own right in your character and your dealings with others. But please, please understand this: by refusing to acknowledge your need personally as a sinner before God, and by refusing to repent of your sin before God and trust Christ as Savior, I tell you this, you're committing the worst of sins before Almighty God. For to reject Christ is the worst of all sins. You're identifying yourself, yes, with the people of Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum. Yes, such here were a people who, despite having received great mercies from God, they continued unrepentant, continued without faith, without trust in the Lord for salvation because of the pride of their heart. Friend, do not follow their example. Learn from their example tonight that the pride of sin that provokes the wrath of God. And if you carry on in your sin unrepentant without Christ as Savior, you're provoking the wrath of God. The Bible says the wrath of God, it abides upon you. The privileges of these cities, the pride of these cities. Notice one final thing here. Notice the plight of these cities. From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 22, Christ speaks to the people of Bethsaida and Chorazin. He says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you." In verse 24, he says to the people of Capernaum, "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And again in verse 23, he says there, "And thou, Capernaum, shalt be brought down," he says, "to hell." Notice there how Christ warned them about hell. He preached about hell. In verse 21, Christ, he uses the word woe. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida." And with those words there, Christ warned these people that they were bound for hell, that they were bound for eternal punishment in hell. Why? Because they refused to repent of their sin. They refuse to trust Christ as their own and personal Savior. And can I say, this is the plight of all, whoever they are, who will reject Christ as Savior. Listen to what John says in Revelation chapter 20 about the judgment of God. In verses 12, 13, and 15, he says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Friend, if you meet God on the day of judgment as an unrepentant sinner, without Christ as your Saviour, then you will face the awful, awful ruin of hell, of a lost eternity in hell itself. I want you to see in particular what Christ says to these cities in regard to this. Look at verse 22 and verse 24 of Matthew chapter 11. It says there, Christ said that it shall be more tolerable, he says, for Tyre and Sidon and the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than it would be for the people of Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum. In other words, he was warning the people of Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum that their punishment in hell would be far more severe than the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. Why? Because they had many, many more privileges, many, many more spiritual privileges than the people of Tyre and Sidon and Sodom had. Dear unsaved friend, there's a very solemn lesson here for you, and the lesson is this. Yes, your punishment in hell will be far, far worse than those in this life, than those in this world, in this scene of time, who have had less spiritual privileges than yourself. You see, with every privilege there is a solemn responsibility. Dear friend, this is the awful plight that awaits you should you die in your sin. Maybe you don't want to hear about hell tonight. Well, I tell you, it's far, far better for you to hear about hell and to be warned about hell than to go to hell without ever having heard about it on earth, without ever being warned about it from the preacher here on earth in this scene of time. Oh, be warned tonight. Heed the word of God. The judgment of God, the wrath of God abides upon you, and you'll face the judgment of God if you die in your sin and come before God as an unrepentant sinner on the day of judgment. What an awful plight awaits you. Let me say this. This need not be so. If you will only repent of your sins and turn to Christ by faith for salvation and ask him personally to be your Savior. I want you to listen carefully to what is said in John's Gospel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 and 16 and verse 36 as well of the same chapter. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." It says in the last verse of that same chapter, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." What a promise, what a blessing God offers to you in salvation. Everlasting life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, by confessing your sins to Christ, by taking your place, acknowledging your need as a sinner before God, and by trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior, you can know, you can be sure here on earth of all your sins being forgiven by God. You can know peace with God. You can have the blessed assurance in your soul of everlasting life in God's heaven. Why, this indeed is the great blessing of salvation, that God offers freely to you and I through his Son, his eternal Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Why do we say that? Well, Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He could do no sin. And as the sinless Son of God, he died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. He shed his blood as an atonement for sinners before God. And he rose again victorious from the dead, alive forevermore, never again to die for sin on the third day. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ and says of Christ, who was delivered for our offenses. That's our sins he was delivered, he was crucified for. And he was raised again, it says, for our justification. In other words, he died, he rose again to purchase everlasting life and salvation For the whosoever will, whosoever will trust him as Savior. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You and I had no strength of our own to deal with our sin and the awful ruin of our sin. But Christ died for our sins. He rose again. He purchased an eternal salvation. And by his once for all sacrifice for sin, he paid the debt of our sin to God. He satisfied God's justice when he cried out, "It is finished." By a sacrifice for sinners, he provided a way. He made a way. He purchased a way. He opened up a way. So that you and I could be saved from our sins and the awful penalty of our sins in a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation and any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You can be saved tonight. Glory to God in this car park, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, to receive this salvation, you must come before him acknowledging your need as a sinner. And trust Christ. Rest upon his sacrifice. Trust in him alone. By faith alone, call upon him. By faith alone, ask him into your heart and life to be your Savior from sin. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You think of this coronavirus, this pandemic. Someone here in Enniskillen was to say this week, "I have a cure for this disease, for this virus." I'm sure he wouldn't have to call for people to come. Once the news spread, people would be coming, knocking at his door, looking for the cure, looking for the vaccine to deal with the pandemic and deal with the virus. You know, I want to tell you tonight about a far greater cure for the awful virus of sin, and that is in the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And oh, by coming to Christ, coming to him just as you are, you can know your sins forgiven. You can be saved from the wrath to come. You can be made ready for heaven. Yes, by coming to him just as you are, the Bible says, without money. And indeed, without price. Christ says, him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He will not turn you away. He'll not send you away empty-handed. He'll take you in. He will save your soul. He'll forgive your sins. He'll fit you for heaven. You know, there's a story told about a young man. And he was studying law at a particular university. And while he was studying there, God began to deal with his heart. He came under intense conviction of sin. He began to think about his soul. He began to think about his need of salvation, his need of a Savior. And as he thought about these things and pondered these things, he began to ask himself certain questions. He says, what will I do when I finish my studies at university? He said, I will practice law after I'm finished. Then he asked himself another question, what will I do as I practice law? What will I do after that? Well, he answered himself, I'll get rich and the cases that I take on. Then he asked himself the question, what then after this work is finished? He says, well, I'll retire. And what then? He answered, then I will die. Then he thought again and he asked himself the question, what then? Then he said, I will face the judgment of God. You know, as he considered the awful reality of himself facing God's judgment in hell as a non-repentant sinner, realizing his need of Christ as a Savior, the story goes that that young man at that university at that time when God was dealing with his heart, dealing with his soul, that he sought Christ, confessed his sin to Christ, trusted him as his own and personal Savior, and that he made ready for heaven. Unsaved friend in this gathering tonight, you may never practice law. Yes, you may never be rich. Perhaps you may never even live to see retirement, but I tell you this, if the coming of Christ tarries, I tell you this, that you will die. And you will face the judgment of God for your sin. That is an absolute certainty. If you die in your sin, die unsaved. For the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And you know, if you are to escape this judgment, you are to be saved from the wrath to come and saved from your sins, be sure of heaven, you must heed the gospel. You must heed the word of God. You must inquire after the Lord and come unto Jesus Christ for salvation. As we close tonight, I leave you with the words of that great invitation. We read it earlier from the very lips of Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28. And I want you to listen to this invitation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the promise of Christ. Christ is the only one who can pardon your sin. Christ is the only one who can give you peace with God. Christ is the only one who can bring rest to your soul for time and for eternity. Therefore, I beseech you, I urge you this night, do not go away from this gathering without trusting Christ and calling upon Him for salvation. Heed the warning that Christ gave to these three cities. Despite all their privileges, they were facing the judgment of God because they repented not, did not trust Christ as their Savior. Don't you be like them. It's here as a warning. It's a red light from God to your soul, unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in this meeting tonight. Oh, that you would come just as you are to Christ. Trust Him and rejoice in God's so great salvation for time and for eternity.